And now for reading and writing and radio.
Four girls were crossing the backyard. They were girls of 14 and 15 years old, and they were the club members. First came Helen Fletcher, and then the others walked slowly in single file. They had cut across from the O'Neills' backyard and were passing slowly before the arbor. The long gold sun slanted down on them and made their skin look golden also, and they were dressed in clean, fresh dresses. When they had passed the arbor, their single shadows stretched out long and gangling across the yard. Soon they would be gone. F. Jasmine stood motionless. In the old days that summer, she would have waited in the hope that they might call her and tell her she had been elected to the club, and only at the very last, when it was plain that they were only passing, she would have shouted in angry loudness that they were not to cut across her yard. But now she watched them quietly, without jealousy.
The author of that bit about club membership, or the lack of it, was written by Carson McCullers in a book, Member of the Wedding. But it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
When I was in the fifth grade, our whole class had a club. I forget what sort of club, but everybody belonged. We had meetings during school hours, and I was elected secretary. When I told my mother I had to keep the minutes of the meeting, she informed me that a proper secretary always ended the minutes with "respectfully submitted." I used to enjoy reading the minutes and ending up "respectfully submitted J. Dogan." The first initial, you see, made it sound more important. Some years later, for a talk at the club that my mother was president of, the National Federation of Music Clubs, my mother wrote down a story about her first club. I'd like to read it to you. It's almost exactly as she wrote it. I've only adapted it into present tense for my book, The Round Barn. Here it is. Vera is six. She lives in Chicago on the north side. She has a chum, Hilda Duck, with whom she walks to and from school. She and Hilda both take piano lessons. She and Marie Geary and Marguerite Beattie take dancing lessons. Other friends take piano lessons, too, or elocution lessons. Some of the parents are musical. These parents have a music club, which meets on certain evenings in each other's homes. After a brief business meeting, they perform, either on the piano or vocally. There are usually two soloists an evening. Often, they invite a fine guest musician to perform. Over the staircases, Vera and Hilda observe what goes on at a music club. They are especially fascinated by the business meeting. There is always a president who wields a gavel and says, "The meeting will now come to order." Then he calls on a lady who reads things she has written down in a book. These are called minutes, and she always ends her part with the impressive words, "respectfully submitted." Another person tells how much money the club has and what it is to be used for. Vera and Hilda understand that this vast pile has been accumulated by something called dues. Vera and Hilda decide to start a music club. They learn from their mothers that they must gather members and have an election. They send word around to all their friends. Hilda's mother owns a gavel. Hilda decides that she will be president so that she can bang it down and say solemnly, "The meeting will now come to order." Vera's father is a doctor, and among his mail he frequently receives a comfortable-sized red notebook advertising Pepto-Mangan. The ad is at the top of each sheet, and the rest is blank. These lovely books invariably come to Vera. She decides to be secretary. She can write the minutes in the books and end with those delicious words, respectfully submitted. The first meeting is at Vera's house in the parlor where the piano is. Her parents get in extra chairs and promise to help with refreshments. Vera lifts the special silver pitcher from the sideboard and the silver platter. When the group assembles, they decide first thing to be done is to name the club. All sorts of musical titles are suggested, such as the Mozart Club or the Beethoven Club. But there is a favorite cartoon in the Sunday paper, The Adventures of Buster Brown and His Dog Tig. They all love Buster, and so they end up naming their music club the Buster Brown and Tig Club. This can be shortened to the BB&T Club to confound non-members. Next comes the motto. Every organization has one, and many are suggested, even such as Sink or Swim, which sounds very much like the title of a Horatio Alger book. Vera's sister, Olive, is too old to be invited into the group, but she knows a wonderful motto. It is in Latin, Semper Fidelis. She says it means always faithful. Well, that is it, a Latin motto, meaning they will always be faithful to their music and their club. They make rules. They will meet once a week, take turns performing for each other, pay dues of 2 cents a week, and give a recital at the end of the season. For this, they will sell tickets to parents and friends, and the proceeds will go to the Baby's Fresh Air Fund at Lincoln Park. They add another rule that Hilda says her uncle told her was very important. No sarcastic remarks in club. No one knows what sarcastic means, but it sounds impressive, and so they add it to their list. Then comes the entertainment. Hilda and Edith Duck play a piano duet, and Marie Geary performs an Irish jig. Everyone sings My Country, 'Tis of Thee. It is time for election of officers, but before such a solemn event, the group feels the need to do something worthy. They decide to take the pledge. They send out for the Bible. A mystified parent fetches it. Katie McAuliffe takes a page from her notebook and writes, I promise for 1 year to abstain from all intoxicating liquor. Everyone signs her full name with one hand on the Bible and the other holding the pencil. The election does not turn out as Hilda and Vera plan. Vera is elected president, and the gavel is given to her. Hilda becomes secretary, and Vera regretfully gives her the red books in which she will be privileged to write respectfully submitted. Plans are made for the next meeting. Refreshments are the last item on the agenda. Vera fills the pitcher from the pan of cocoa steaming on the stove. She carries out coconut cookies on the silver platter. The members pour themselves cocoa from the elegant pitcher and help themselves to cookies. Then Vera brings the gavel down for adjournment. The first meeting of the Buster Brown and Tig Club is over. Vera carries the dishes to the kitchen. She rinses out the cups. She wipes the platter carefully. Then she empties the dregs of the cocoa from the silver pitcher. She is appalled at what she finds at the bottom of it. 3 buttons of different sizes, 1 button hook, and an assortment of safety pins. Well, the story, as I've put it in my book, then goes on to tell other stories of mother as a little girl, and my mother's speech went on to say, I'll come back to my story for that. She said there would be chapters on the mother's work in the National Federation of Music Club. And she'd include an interesting statistic that out of that adult club that little Vera and Hilda watched through the banisters came one national president of the National Federation of Music Club, Mrs. Albert Oxner, and out of the Buster Brown and Tig Club, inspired by it, came another, Mother. And I tell also about a music club in Beloit, which my mother still belongs to, called Treble Clef. And how my brother said when he was very little one day, Mommy, what's all the trouble about? And she said, Why, what trouble, Craig? And he said, The trouble in Treble Clef. And I also tell about the club that Treble Clef had for juniors called the Junior Treble Clef. And I say in that part, Treble Clef sponsors a junior club that meets every other Saturday afternoon. It is rather like the Buster Brown and Tig, for there are officers, members who perform for each other and give study papers on instruments or composers, and there are always excellent refreshments. Jackie goes to Junior Treble Clef the way she goes to church and Sunday school. It is not something you question. But her best friend Joyce, who takes piano lessons, is openly rebellious. Why waste a perfectly good Saturday on Junior Treble Clef? Joyce demands, and when she is conned into going, states loudly that she does so only for the refreshments. Well, our topic today, if you haven't already guessed, is clubs, and I want to say a few more words about clubs before I ask you to write about them. First of all, what makes a club? What is it? It has members, meetings, dues maybe, bylaws and constitution maybe, sometimes a purpose, sometimes an initiation. I remember in high school, the boys were elected to High Y Club, and I remember seeing a bunch of them sitting in front of the study hall during noon, where we all ate our lunch, eating whole onions as if they were apples, and the tears streaming down their eyes. And my brother tells me that afterwards, in private, in the evening, other such things happened, such as sitting bare-bottomed on a block of ice. Well, a club is usually a group centered around an interest. You name it, there's a club. My dad goes to chess club, and he's been going for 30 years. Both my parents belong to the Ned Hollister Bird Club, and the members there are all bird lovers. My daughter Jill belongs to the Procrastinators Club, and procrastination, as you know, means you never get around to something. And the Procrastinators Club is more of a joke because it doesn't have any meetings. If you write in to be a member, you never get your membership certificate back. The Procrastinators Club just never gets around to being a club. A young friend of mine went off to college this fall. He's an ardent Dungeons and Dragons player. He organized his own club. He advertised for Dungeons and Dragons players, and he interviewed them, and then he chose the most adept and interesting to be in his Dungeons and Dragons club. He sort of dictated the whole thing. So this brings us to a big and possibly the hardest point about clubs. Who's in and who's out? With the chess club and with Treble Clef, there's open membership. If you're a chess player or a musician, you can get in. Or if you're a parent without a partner or an overeater, you can belong to Parents Without Partners or Overeaters Anonymous. People with certain interests band together for company, for information, for strengthening themselves, for fun, often to bring pressure on the government or some other body. For instance, the Sierra Club, which is a club that children and adults can belong to, not only has fun and does things together, but they're concerned about the environment, and they bring pressure on the government to keep up environmental protection. Our class club, everybody was in it. And when I was a kid, we had a number of clubs out on the farm. I remember the VLJR Club. That was our middle name initials. The four of us kids, my brother and two sisters, we all belonged to the club because we were all there was. If we didn't belong, nobody would. And you couldn't very well leave somebody out when there were only four. But at the lake one summer, I remember there were some older kids visiting, and my two older sisters and these older kids formed a club, a secret club, and left me out. It had Greek letters, and there was much whispering, and there were secret meetings, and I was desolated. I can still remember that desolation and how it hurt, and how I mooned around the kitchen, and my mother saying, "I've never heard you wondering about what to do before, Jackie." And she kept making remarks to the older kids and wondering why Jackie couldn't be in the club. And when they finally, grudgingly, let me in, it turned out, of course, not to be that much. The Greek letters were no longer mysterious when they told me what they stood for. But the real point was that they were inside and I was outside, and it hurt to be outside. And that's the part of a lot of club, is insiders and outsiders. And sometimes nobody minds, and sometimes people are hurt. The book I used at the opener, The Member of the Wedding, Frankie, who calls herself F. Jasmine, is hurt by being left out of the club. It says, "There was in the neighborhood a clubhouse, and Frankie was not a member. The members of the club were girls who were 13 and 14 and even 15 years old. They had parties with boys on Saturday night. Frankie knew all of the club members, and until this summer she had been like a younger member of their crowd. But now they had this club, and she was not a member. They had said she was too young and mean. On Saturday night, she could hear the terrible music and see from far away their light. Sometimes she went around to the alley behind the clubhouse and stood near a honeysuckle fence. She stood in the alley and watched and listened. They were very long, those parties. 'Maybe they will change your mind and invite you,' John Henry said." And then Frankie says a word that I can't say over the radio, but it told what she thought of those club members. And the story goes on, and Frankie decides to join her brother and his wife after their wedding and go on their honeymoon with them. And part of this is in reaction to feeling that she is alone, and her big discovery, and maybe you saw this recently on television, that's what led me to read the book, is when Frankie says, "I'm all by myself. I don't have any we. The club members have we," and she names various other groups that have we, and she says, "but I don't have any we." And she realizes that in her mind, her brother and his bride, she says, they are the we of me. And so this need to have a we, for me to become a we, is a very strong factor in having clubs. So let's think about clubs today. Let's write about the clubs that you formed, what sort they were or are, what you did, what was your clubhouse. For I know that clubs often start because there's a clubhouse or an ideal club spot, a secret clearing in the woods, and you say, what'll we do with this spot? And you say, I know, let's have a club. And then who are the members and why? Who are the we, the they? Have you ever been the they? How did that feel? And think about, for you, who are the we of me?
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.